Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I did.
Dr. Alfie Wines coming at you from Living Water, Drinking Deeply, coming from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Here this morning, this Monday morning, July 27th, 2015, I am here to encourage you in compassionate living through a deeper understanding of the biblical text. I want you to know that my heart is excited, my soul is delighted, and my Spirit is ignited to be with you here on this Monday morning. I am delighted to be with you. It is a joy. It just makes my week. I look forward to connecting with you on this broadcast every week. Not only does it help get your morning started, your week started, I want you to know it helps to get my Monday morning started as well. We are indeed here to help you get your day started, your week started, to help you stay focused and to help you keep moving throughout the month, throughout the year, throughout your entire life. You may call in at 347-850-8854. That is 347-850-8854. But then also you can listen in on the internet. You know, these are the wonderful days of technology. And so if you miss the broadcast and need to listen at a later time, feel free to do that. You can pull it up on the internet and listen there. Probably the easiest place to find it, although it's in several places on the internet, probably the easiest place to find it is in Facebook, but it is also out there on Twitter and also out there on LinkedIn as well. This is your Monday morning Mastermind broadcast, and I am delighted to be with you. This morning, I want to let you know that the thing that is on my mind and in my heart and in my spirit really grows out of what I preached on yesterday. I was preaching a sermon titled Picking Up the Pieces, and the title comes from what is a very familiar passage in the Gospels. In fact, all four of the Gospel writers record this particular story, this particular miracle of Jesus. You know, the Gospels don't all tell the story the exact same way. They include and exclude different information, but there are places where maybe one or two of them might have the same thing, but sometimes maybe three of them might have the same thing. Sometimes one gospel writer might record something and none of the others. But in this case, which is fairly unusual, all four of the gospel writers tell us the story of Jesus feeding 5,000. And there's also, of course, a story, that particular story that I'm referring to, the version of it, is in the Gospel of John. There's also another story about Jesus feeding 4,000 people. And when Jesus tells the disciples to pick up the pieces, excuse me, there are 12 baskets full in the story of the 5,000, and there are 7 baskets full in the story of the 4,000. So Jesus is concerned not only about the immediate need of feeding people, but he is concerned also about the pieces. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us what he does with the pieces. We can imagine all kinds of things, of course, knowing they don't have refrigerators and they don't have freezers like we do today, and they don't have 7-Eleven around the street down on the corner. But perhaps they ate those at some other time. Of course, we don't know that. The scripture does not tell us that. But it does bring to mind the idea of picking up the pieces of our lives. When we find that we need to take back our lives, we have perhaps given something away. And what do I mean by that? I mean that there is perhaps an area of our lives that we have not paid enough attention to. You know, life is complex, and it is getting faster, and there are more and more things to deal with, it seems like, every day. And so we may find ourselves juggling one ball and, letting it go perhaps for a little while we're focused on something else, and then find ourselves where we might have several things that are needing our attention. We might find ourselves in a place where we are needing to pick up the pieces of our lives. I want to call our attention as we think about picking up the pieces of our lives this morning. And I want to call our attention to what is perhaps my favorite book in all of Scripture, the book of Job. A little bit about my story about Job is that once I began, this was many years ago, I don't know, 30 years ago at least, once I began studying and reading Scripture for myself, I was taken aback by the many things that were there that I had never heard of. And, of course, although I did have 10 years in my life when I did not attend church, I basically am a person who attended church most of my life. And so, most often went to Bible study as well, or Sunday school. So my point is that I was, you know, a student, I guess you could say, for many, many years. And there were so many things when I began to read on my own, things that shocked me, things that I found to be unethical, things that I found that actually at the time it created a spiritual crisis for me. And to tell you the truth, I was at that point in time about ready to give up on Christianity, because what I read in the Scriptures, and then I thought about the history of the church, and there are so many places of failures and not living up to ethical standards and ideals that at one point, to tell you the truth, I was just about ready to give up on Christianity and decide that maybe I would be an agnostic, and just uncertain whether God existed or not, and just ready to kind of give up on faith. And then I came across the marvelous book of Job. Now, of course, I had heard that about the patience of Job. That even comes up in the New Testament, in the book of James, I believe it shows up regarding the patience of Job. But when I actually went back to read the book for myself, and by the way, that is an example of why it is important for us to read and study for ourselves. Yes, we can learn from one another. Yes, we can learn from the ministers that God places on our paths and learn from them, learn from the Bible teachers that God places on our path and learn from them. But I also want to let you know that it is still important, no matter how much we gain from others, it is important for us to learn, read, and study the Scripture ourselves. At any rate, in my own story, when I came across the book of Job, it saved my faith. And what do I mean by that? I mean that at a time when I had all kinds of questions, and let me back up just a bit. You know, the Scripture has a lot of war stories. And to tell you the truth, I'm against war. I'm against violence in any shape, form, or fashion. And yet I found the Scripture to be very violent. First of all, in the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament, and then also when we get to the end, the images in the Book of Revelation are full of all kinds of violence, and I just want you to know that I am against that in any shape, form, or fashion. So that was a big disappointment. I was disappointed that it did not speak out in a way that I would have expected against things like racism and sexism and so forth and so on. So at that point in time, I was in a spiritual crisis, and I came across the book of Job, and I began to realize that he had a powerful story of questioning God, of wondering about this thing called life, and about in his approach, he was totally honest. What had happened to him was that everything valuable in his life he had lost. All of his household, all of his property, there was a loss. In addition to that, his health failed. And on top of that, he and his wife had a big disagreement about his circumstances. There are many other aspects of this story, and I certainly want to talk with you about those at some point. But at this point, let's just lift up this part of the story, that he has had all kinds of troubles in his life. And in the process of dealing with those troubles, his friends, three of them, have heard about his troubles, and so they travel a long distance to come and be with him. When they see him, they don't even recognize him. They honor the custom of the time, which was that the comforter doesn't say anything but waits until the person who is indeed in a time of difficulty speaks. And so they waited 7 days. And finally, Job spoke. And when he spoke, he began by cursing the day he was born. Dan, that we really need to, I need to tell you a little bit about the beginning of the story, which is that God and we would often say Satan, but it's really the Satan. And again, we'll talk about this more deeply at another time, but I just want to give you a little bit so you know what's happening in this story. There is a conversation between God and the Satan wherein God, in effect, says, you know, have you considered my servant Job, and actually allows the Satan to create all of these problems that are going on in Job's life. Now, Job does not know anything about this conversation. All Job knows is that there have been troubles in his life, and he understands that he has not done anything in his life. He has done his very best to live an upright life, to bless his community, to bless people who were needing help. He's prayed for his children, even prayed for sins that he thinks they might have committed. He has done everything that he knows to do, and yet he has these troubles in his life. Well, once he begins to speak, his friends are taken aback by what he has to say, because the idea of cursing the day that he was born, now the bet, we could call it the bet, I guess if you want to, between God and the Satan, was that Job would curse God. And God, of course, is confident in Job that Job will not do that. Now, I want to suggest just real quickly here that Job does just about everything but curse God. However, he does not curse God. But what does he curse? He curses the day on which he was born. This statement, his reflections on this, take his friends so far from what they understand life to be all about that there is a long discussion between him and his friends, where his friends try to convince him to examine his life, because surely he has done something to deserve all of these troubles in his life. And of course, to the end, Job insists that he has not done anything wrong. Not only is there the conversation between him and his friends, once Job has talked himself out, the younger person comes up and he has his say. And he goes on and on and on. You know, Job has had his say. He doesn't speak at this point. And then after the young person, his name is Elihu. Anyway, after he speaks, then, of course, God comes on the scene and speaks. And in the process of God's conversation with Job, Job speaks twice. The second time when God calls, after Job has, you know, heard God speak, then Job says, this is in the last chapter, in chapter 42, "I know you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and do you instruct me? I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you. Therefore, I retract and I repent in dust and ashes." I want to suggest, first of all, that the English does not really help us fully understand what Job is saying. The Hebrew, though, does help us understand. And it's not a matter of Job repenting in the sense that we understand repentance for having gone astray, for having done something wrong, or having said something wrong. How do we know that? Because when God speaks again, he affirms Job and tells the friends that Job has not said anything wrong, but that the friends have, and it is the friends who need to repent. Continuing in the chapter, it says, "And it came about after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves, and my servant Job will pray for you, for I will accept him, so that I may not do with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job. Clearly, God understands that Job has not fallen short. And yet at the same time, Job has come away from his conversation with his friends, his conversations with God, his questions and issues that he raised in the conversations with God and with his friends. He comes away with a new understanding and a new perspective. And once he does that, he is able to put the pieces of his life together. We then read, continuing the chapter, "And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. Then his brothers and all his sisters and all those who had known him before came to him, and they ate bread with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought on him. And each one gave him one piece of money and each a ring of gold. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than the beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he named the first Jemima, and the second Keziah, and the third Karen Hapuk. And in all of the land, no women were found as fair as Job's daughters, and their father gave them inheritance among their brothers. And after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his grandsons 4 generations. And Job died an old man and full of days." What a powerful story about putting the pieces back together of our lives. What Job does is he comes to himself. In his relationship with God, first of all, and then in addition, hurt him and upset him, the very same ones who had no understanding of what he was trying to say to them, who just could not even conceive or think that Job had not done something wrong. Their perspective, their theology, their understanding of God and life was so small that they could not consider another ability. And yet, as we see in the story, God affirmed Job's understanding that he had not done anything to bring about these troubles in his life. Picking up the pieces, what did it require of Job? He had to reconcile in relationship with God, in relationship with his friends, and then also in relationship with his community. What a powerful story about picking up the pieces of our lives. I want to suggest that he was able to be honest with God himself and his friends about his situation. He was able to pray for those who had hurt him. He was able to maintain his integrity throughout not only the ordeal, but the conversations thereafter. He was able to engage in critical conversation with his friends. He was able to reconnect with his community. He was able to change his perspective and at the same time hold on to his integrity. He did not give up on God. He questioned God. He talked with God, but he held on to his relationship with God throughout his troubles. And I want to suggest that this is a wonderful story to remind us, to teach us how to put the pieces back together in our lives. Along the way, there certainly were some lessons that Job came to terms with. There also were some blessings in his life that he came to terms with. What a wonderful story in helping us figure out how to pull the pieces of our lives back together. We must be honest. We must pray and connect our relationships with anyone where the relationships have been broken. Again, that does not necessarily mean everything is fine and wonderful, but it does mean that we would have forgiven persons who have wounded us. It also means we would have received God's forgiveness and forgiveness perhaps from others. It does mean that we maintain a sense of self and integrity, and then also that we are willing to hear the perspective of others and yet understand our own story and our own perspective, come to terms, reconnect, and find ourselves in a different place with a new future story, renewed, restored, because restoration is always a possibility with God. No matter what has happened in our lives with God, all things are possible. There is nothing too hard for God. So I want to encourage you on this morning, no matter what is going on in your life, rest assured that there is healing and restoration on the horizon, that God wants that for you more than you want it for yourself, that God loves you more than you could ever imagine, that God loves you so much, it will take God an eternity to share all that love with you. I want to let you know how you can connect between now and next week after the broadcast. You can go to my webpage, Dr. Alfie, livingwaterdrinkingdeeply.ministries-dallas.com. Again, my webpage, DRALFIE. livingwaterdrinkingdeeplyministries-dallas.com. You can check out my blog at livingwaterdrinkingdeeply.wordpress.com. You can go to my Facebook page for Living Water Drinking Deeply. You can put in DRALFIE-livingwaterdrinkingdeeply. It will come up. Even if you're on Facebook and you just put in Living Water Drinking Deeply, it will come up. You can find me on Twitter under Alfie Wines. And, of course, here on blogtalkradio.com/livingwaterdrinkingdeeply. Of course, the broadcast is available on demand 24/7. So if you miss it during the live broadcast, feel free to go back and listen at a time that is convenient for you. I want to let you know that I also have another program on Blog Talk, which is Your Jazz for Jesus, on One Positive Way Radio. It is a monthly show on the second Sunday in August, on the 9th of August. My guest will be Terrence Richburg, who is known as the Quincy Jones of gospel. And then also I want to invite you to another broadcast that I will be hosting on One Positive Way Radio on Tuesday night, that is tomorrow night, from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I will be a part of the community on domestic abuse, and we will be talking about various aspects of domestic violence. And so I want to invite you to tune in. The phone number for that broadcast is 347-857-4413. Say it again. 347, let me say it again. 347-857-4413. I look forward to meeting you next Monday morning for the Monday Morning Mastermind broadcast. I look forward to seeing you in August for the Your Jazz for Jesus broadcast. And I look forward to meeting you on Blog Talk tomorrow night for the broadcast on domestic violence. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
Okay, I did.
A breakthrough coming your way. It's a mighty move of God. It's gonna change your day. Signs and wonders, miracles to perform. God is gonna bless you for just holding on. Just hold on. Change is coming. I feel it in the air. It's in the atmosphere. Just hold on.
God.